B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, July 26, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM at 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to talk, for some reason that I can't figure out.
Me either.
About Farming Simulator.
It's a legitimate esport, guys.
And the tournament that they just held. Where was that? Was that in
FarmCon 2019 over in Germany, I believe.
All right. Well, that's coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily. Also, we're going to talk to a legend of the fighting game community, Justin Wong.
So excited about this conversation, guys.
Joins us here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today
with loot boxes.
No.
Oh.
With Tfue. Tfue is in mounting legal hot water as FaZe Clan has announced that they are going to be countersuing Tfue.
Yeah, and this is really coming off the heels of, you know, the pending litigation that came out in May,
right,
in which Tfue was trying to get out of his contract with FaZe Clan,
stating it was exploitative.
That's right, stating it was exploitative, Robbie. And that, you know, they were not having his best interests at heart.
Right.
And thus, he wanted to get out of there. Now, FaZe Clan is saying they are, in turn, countersuing Tfue, stating that he's violated his contract by disparaging FaZe Clan and wanting to break off and make a rival esports organization.
This is interesting. And, of course, they are also countersuing for $20
million. $20 million.
That's a lot of money. So, you know, I think that this is, I mean, an interesting development here in this case. We've talked about this before. We've brought Noah Smith, Washington Post contributing writer, onto the show to talk about, you know, the issue that this story and things like this raises about how esports contracts should be structured. And now we're seeing that FaZe Clan is holding Tfue to not just the spirit of the contract, but to the letter of it. This is very important.
Yeah, it's really, really intense, too, because the entire brief has been posted to multiple outlets, and you can go look at it for yourself. But one thing that is very, very clear is that FaZe Clan is going out of their way to let you know just exactly what involved his what his contract involved, what were some of his expectations, and in turn, where along the lines he began to sort of disparage the company. As a matter of fact, there's one part that says Tinny does not hide the fact that FaZe Clan did everything in their power to assist him in helping to build his brand.
Sure.
And they say, in quote, "To the contrary, he recently posted a YouTube video with the caption, 'I want to make it very clear that I tried multiple times for multiple months to get out of this contract. Tinny will stop at nothing to get his way.'"
I mean, I do think that this looks like FaZe Clan really going out of their way to try to make them paint themselves as the victim.
Well, because originally, too, in Tfue's suit, he was filing this in California due to the California laws that basically saying that you're violating California's laws. And interestingly enough, FaZe Clan have actually filed their lawsuit in New York.
It is very interesting. And, you know, one has to ask at this point, you know, are they filing in New York to, you know, try to speed things along and get a ruling in New York first, thus making whatever ruling that would come in California be just that much more difficult for Tfue to obtain?
Yeah.
So I think there is a lot of gamesmanship. There's a lot of lawyers behind the scenes that are trying to make this really muddy the waters with this thing. And it becomes more and more difficult for other big streamers to look at this as an example of, you know, we've said many times, you know, maybe this is, you know, Tfue setting an example of this is how you get out of a poor contract.
Sure.
This is how you, you know, sort of take charge of your career, take charge of your
brand. Doesn't seem like that much anymore, though.
It does not.
No.
Not at all.
And I really do think that this is, you know, this is an important story to keep an eye on, because this is sort of the canary in the coal mine for so many other esports pros. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently talking about the Tfue FaZe Clan situation, with now FaZe Clan counter suing Tfue after you betrayed us. We're the victims here. But after Tfue had sued FaZe Clan originally, stating that the contract that they had him locked into was predatory. Now that same contract is being cited here as the thing that FaZe Clan is suing about, claiming that it's doing serious damage and stands to do more to the organization. And, you know, I think that this is a very interesting case, because, you know, there's so many. This is one of the most successful people on Twitch, one of the most successful streamers, a very successful pro in his own right,
in the most visible game that there is.
Absolutely. I mean, he did despite taking 65th or whatever he took at the World Cup, he is still clearly a talent and very competitive. Millions of people watch his streams. He is one of the hands down biggest successes in all of streaming, esports, and gaming. Okay. And that this guy, with all of the power that he holds, with all of the leverage that his popularity holds, is still being held to count, by countersuits and contracts. This really underscores once again the importance of reading absolutely every single contract that you sign. Anything that has your name on it, at the end of the day, you should run it through your lawyers. You need to be absolutely 100% sure of everything that you sign.
Agents and lawyers, man. Agents and lawyers, 100%. And here's the thing, is that the moment that we began, you know, that FaZe Clan, or excuse me, that Tfue saw, wait a minute, my brand is really blowing up right now. My brand is really growing. You know what? I do owe this to FaZe Clan. I think I wouldn't have gotten here without them. At that point, then your people are supposed to come in and you guys start talking about a contract renegotiation.
Yeah.
You restructure. And I think it you know, by getting so far along in his channel and in the size of his career at this point, it's going to be increasingly difficult for them to ever come to the table with anything. They're going to say, no, this is your contract. This is what you're held towards. If he was at half the popularity that he is now, I think that this becomes a much more amicable type of discussion.
Well, and part of the problem is that, like, technically FaZe Clan has the legal upper hand here. Your name is on that contract. You had the paper in your hands, you know, and sure, I am totally sympathetic to things like being pressured to sign, not feeling like you had enough time to read, feeling like the deal could have been pulled out from under you. I understand and sympathize with all of those things. It does not change the fact that the end of the day, you need to read absolutely everything you sign.
No, and that's true. And it's funny because when we juxtapose this with everything that's going on with Ninja right now,
right,
and how he's moving the Mixer and it's completely set the world ablaze and moved, you know, a quarter million people to the platform already. And you look at something like that and you look, Ninja's been on teams before.
Sure.
He's been in the whole esports team organization ecosystem, if you will, but he got famous outside of it.
Yeah.
And you can't help but wonder, are certain folks like Ninja and others really beginning to understand that maybe with the advent of streaming, I don't need these organizations.
Yeah, it's really realizing your own value as a brand and as a performer. But we want to hear you. But we want to hear from you. We want to get your take on this. What do you think about the countersuit that FaZe Clan is issuing against Tfue? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to sit down with Justin Wong, who's getting ready for Evo. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Robbie, why are we talking about Farming Simulator?
Because Farming Simulator has done something that I haven't seen in any esports scene yet.
That's coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Farming Simulator 2019 had a tournament.
Big one.
And apparently we're going to talk about it. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options, like If You Give a Rick a podcast for kids about the world of children's books, and Nerd Radio, who we had Chuck Bean on
That's
the show.
Right.
You can check out our interview with Chuck Bean over at CheckpointXP.com and go to BPodStudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery.
Yeah.
Farming Simulator 2019 is maybe not the first game that you think of when it comes to esports.
It's not the 10,000th game, I think.
No, it's not even close to that. It's probably the last game that I would have thought of for a tournament, but they did hold a tournament, and apparently it caught Robbie's attention.
It actually caught the attention of the industry for a week there, guys.
No, it didn't.
Not. The 10,000th game, you know, that's quite an insult for an esports scene that has bigger prize pools than the fighting game community.
All right, see, now you're trying to come at my chest, all right?
Ouch.
I'm not even going to talk about the socioeconomic reasons as to why that is, Robbie.
Look, when I first started looking at clips for this, because we've talked about Farming Simulator on this show before, and it was a joke, right? We made fun of it.
It's still a joke.
I don't know. Watching it, there was a little bit more that actually went into it than what I had anticipated, because it was actually given birth, the whole idea of competing in it was given birth through this whole FarmCon thing, right? But now they have a legitimate league with a pretty cool, like, looking setup and, like, rules and stuff that actually go into it. It isn't just like time trials, which is what I thought it would be.
Okay. Then please explain to me these rules that are so interesting and engaging.
So the idea here is that on the field, you have the hay field where you bale the hay, and then you have the barn. I know it sounds ridiculous. I know, guys, bear with me. Where you have to take the bales of hay too, right? They're separated by a bridge. Whenever anyone goes over the bridge... Really?
You're talking about baling hay.
Not even real hay. Digital hay.
The bridges go up for a certain amount of time. So you can't, it's not just running back and forth as fast as you can, right? And just like in something like Armored Core, which you guys are big fans of, right?
Yeah.
The equipment and like the tractors have different like loadouts.
Do the tractors and does the hay blow up?
Maybe NASCAR would be more your speed.
At least in NASCAR it blow up.
There was a tractor that flipped over into the ditch because two of them went for the bridge at the same time.
Did it have realistic destruction on the tractor?
It didn't really destruct it all that much.
Yeah, then why are we talking about
this? The point is, guys, look, Norris, you say a lot that not every that not every game should be an e-sport, right?
Say it all the time.
Okay, what is a game?
This is a perfect example of this.
What does a game, why though? Just because it's farming? What does a game need to be an e-sport? Maybe we should start there.
Excitement?
It needs to be compelling enough for me to want to watch it, not as an e-sport. And okay. I'm going to tell you right now, you couldn't pay
so
me enough money.
To watch
you
something.
Couldn't pay me enough money to sit down and voluntarily watch somebody play
I would rather,
Farming Simulator 2019.
I would rather watch a stream of Big Mother Truckers.
So if something isn't compelling
I would
to
rather,
you.
I would rather the Clockwork Orange style watch Big Mama's House 700 times in a row.
So something like golf isn't a real sport because you guys wouldn't want to watch it.
No, because golf requires people to walk and carry things.
You're not making a very compelling counter argument.
There's no e-sport that carries you that requires you to walk and carry things.
You said, is it a sport, not an e-sport?
You guys said that what makes something an e-sport is you must be compelled to watch it.
Yeah. I'm not compelled to watch golf.
Yeah.
So then golf shouldn't be a sport then.
No, because enough people watch it.
Enough people watch this. FarmCon sold out this year.
Okay.
$250,000 in prize monies. They're backed by sponsors like Intel and Logitech.
Mm-hmm.
So just because it's farming and it's slow, tranquil, kind of wholesome,
you
it's
know
not
what
an
they,
e-sport
no,
though. This is
no,
literally the golf of e-sports, guys.
Nate, do you know what this is?
What is this?
We always forget, and we always give them mess for this. Robbie's a farmer.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot he was raised on a farm.
You are just so determined not to be cool about this.
He's a farmer.
Must be nostalgic for
That's
you.
That's what this is.
This must be like going back home. That's
yes!
the only reason that you could even spend any time with this or even give it an ounce of validity.
It's so... listen, okay, you know what? Now... I think it's valid. I'm going to tell you why I think it's valid. Because farmers across the world and people who have moved from the farm to come down here and be city slickers, yeah, they need to be able to pick up the controller and go home.
I would still rather eat a bowl of napalm than watch this.
The flaw in your logic there, Norris, is that it's not people here in the United States, farmers who are playing it. It's over in Europe where it's biggest.
Okay, and you think people in Europe don't move from the farm to the big city? And now they want to take part in farming
simulator?
Over
in Europe there was potatoes.
They have many crops. That's
Ireland. That's just Ireland.
That's just Ireland.
That's just Ireland.
Literally,
and that's a very racist stereotype,
I'll
have you know.
That is not great. But literally, wine comes from Europe, one of my favorite things.
Did you guys happen to take a look at any of the clips, though?
Yeah, I looked at the clip.
I did.
It's literally golf, though.
It is golf, but that's not a compelling reason for it to exist.
Does there not... That's not something that you think the esports world needs, though?
No.
How many times, you know, with it being on Disney or ESPN, do people tune in and go, this is too crazy. You do not need to be this excited about something. Is there not room in the scene for something that is slower, more methodical?
No.
You really honestly think if we take Farming Simulator and put it on at 4 p.m. on Disney XD or ESPN2, that people's reaction's going to be any better?
Listen, I'm going to be totally honest with you. An entire esports tournament of people talking like this and getting really, really not excited for things that are happening on screen.
When you put that triple Baylor up there on the conveyor belt, they got pretty hype.
No, they didn't.
What is that, Robbie? What is a triple Baylor?
It's where you
what
put
is
three
that?
Bales on top of each other and you put it on the conveyor belt instead of one at a time.
Why does anybody need to know what that is?
Why does anybody need to know what goats is?
Because at least goats, when you run it, things die, okay? That's the point, okay? That's the point.
Not everything's about killing, Norris.
In video games, it is.
Not in Farming Simulator. I think there's a bright future here.
I'm so disappointed.
A bright future of what?
Well, okay, let me rephrase. I think that someone in Farming Simulator has a more lucrative future than somebody in Street Fighter.
Oh,
outstanding.
All right, we're going to have to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. Do you think that someone... competing at Farming Simulator 2019 has much more of a future than
I think Justin's going to have something to say about this.
Competing at Street Fighter 5. We want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram. Boy, I wish I could ask Justin Wong this question, but, you know, our super producer, Kooky Christine, host of Not Your Player 2, is out at EVO this weekend, and she got to bend Justin Wong's ear. We're going to check out that conversation ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
And welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as The Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a bunch of new emotes, including two brand new emotes, thanks to the generosity of our growing live community. You can celebrate the launch of the Not Your Player 2 podcast, a podcast about esports and video games from the female perspective with the Sarah emote. Check it out over at our Twitch page, twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our super producer, Christine Solis, got a chance to sit down with Justin Wong out at EVO, so let's take a listen to that conversation.
This is Christine Solis with Checkpoint XP. I am here with Justin Wong at the Toshinai tournament here at the Wall in the Rio in Las Vegas, Nevada. How are you doing, Justin?
I'm doing good. It's Thursday, so it's like a pre-turn before the main Big Kahuna EVO. So, yeah, I would say it's the one tournament you want to make sure you do very, very well at.
Definitely, definitely. Now, this is pre-game. Now, not many people know the FGC community, so explain what you do in the FGC community.
I'm a pro player. I play for Street Fighter V and Sam Show. I also do content creation on YouTube, influencer for like a bunch of brands that sponsor me, and also like for like mobile games. So I guess I do a lot, but people know me as more of like this pro player in fighting game that plays all these different fighting games and do very well at a high level. I've been focusing more on just content creation to bring more people into FGC.
You're a veteran. How long have you been doing this?
Over 20 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm 34. I turned 34 November, and I've been playing tournaments since I was 14 years old. So that's 20 years, I would say. Yeah, that's a long time, actually.
That's a very long time. You're totally a veteran in our eyes. So you've competed in tons of games. You said you just got into Samurai Showdown. There is that new bracket. What's drawn you to that new game?
So I actually never played Samurai Showdown in my life. So they had a bunch of other Samurai Showdowns before this new one came out. I would say what gets me into games is, like, when they come out, do I have fun playing it? And also, like, is it at tournaments? Because there's, like, a lot of other fighting games that are out, but you don't really see them at, like, fighting game tournaments or even online tournaments. They're just there as a, like, a casual fighting game, but they could be in fighting game tournaments. Mm-hmm. So I guess, yeah, I would say that's kind of what makes me get interested in games if I want to try them out. I was like, can I go to a tournament and play in a tournament? Because, I don't know, I guess I like tournaments a lot, and I would say my goal is to win at least, before I retire, 100 different fighting game tournaments. So it would be nice to have that under my belt.
Awesome. Now, Smash is the biggest game of EVO right now. I mean, with Smash Bros. Ultimate just coming out last December. If there's any concerns, do you have any concerns for the Street Fighter scene? because of Smash?
I don't think there's any concerns. Like, Smash has been in the EVO lineup for, like, over 6 years now? 5-6 years now? So, I mean, people are just happy that their games gets represented at EVO as an official title, right? Because people look at EVO as like, okay, like, if I win EVO, I can call myself a world champion, right? That's kind of, that's how much EVO means to people. But what's really good is that EVO is literally about the fighting game community. So if your game is not an EVO, there will be side tournaments for your games that, that are not an EVO. So probably, like, I think there's, what, 8-9 official titles, right, I believe? But there's probably over, like, 50 tournaments at EVO for different games. It's a lot. So yeah, so people can have their fun, their fighting game fun, no matter what. Like EVO is, it's like, I would say it's kind of like the World Series of Poker for fighting games, and, you know, brings people from all over around the world to just share their passion of how much they love fighting games. You could be bad, you could be average, you could be the best player in the world, but everyone still wants to play, even if they're bad. Like, I don't mind playing people that don't know how to play the game, because I just like playing people. You know, having that social interaction is a great feeling.
So esports continues to grow at a blistering pace with bigger prize pools, you know, with Fortnite World Cup at 30 million. What are your thoughts on the small prize pool amounts in the FGC, and do you think they'll even be bigger?
I don't think the FGC will get to the level of Fortnite. I mean, when you think about a fighting game, you're paying it, like, per person, like, $60 for a fighting game, $40 for a fighting game. And, you know, like, the successful companies that are doing these big esports games, like League of Legends, Fortnite, they're all free to play, right? Free to play. You could download Fortnite on your phone, right? On the Switch, for every console, for free. So it's just interesting. So I would say to get a community just to play their game, free to play is the best model, with, like, microtransactions on along the way. That's kind of how these companies make so much money, and they're able to, you know what, since you guys support us, we want to support you back with these tournaments. So I would say that's kind of the only thing. I mean, like, the only way I could see fighting games really blow up is, I mean, the rumored League of Legends fighting game that Riot's been working on for ages. So maybe Riot, I could see them doing an LCS for fighting games. But that might kind of put FGC in a very bad position, where you're like, yeah, you can only play our fighting game, and you have to quit, like, Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or Tekken. So it really becomes a different, very hard decision to kind of make, right? So, I mean, I could see it get to that level, but 30 million, no. But the thing is that I grew up in the 80s, so I love just going down my arcade playing Street Fighter. And I don't think I can ever, like, not have that passion of playing a fighting game. It's always going to be there as part of my life, because it's really a big part of my life. And without fighting games, I don't know where I'll be at to this day.
So the FGC scene is also blooming with personalities, people such as Sonic Fox. Why do you think none of the FGC players, pros, aren't at the forefront of esports as a brand?
I think it's because it's so community-based, where it doesn't get that much coverage, right? I would say, when you think about viewership numbers, it's not that high. Like, you'll see, like, clips, memes about like, the event that passed. That's kind of, like, what we get usually in terms of, like, people talking about it. But, I mean, I do think everyone really knows that we do exist. It's just that the interest level from, like, a casual spectator viewership point of view, it's not there, because they might not be interested in the game, they never played the game, or they're like, oh, it's not free to play, I don't want to play it. So, like, a lot of times, it kind of hurts our scene. But, I mean, at the same time, the developers need to make money as well. So we can't complain. Like, it's one of those things that, like, sure, like, as a community, we want more. But I think of it as, like, a person that has worked in the industry, and also as a competitor, that, I mean, this is a good balance at the moment. You know, the developers do try really hard to give us, like, you know, as much as they can. Like, you know, we have a Capcom Pro Tour. We have a Tekken World Tour. We have the Mortal Kombat Pro League. So these and you know, Twitch even gives us chances like Twitch Rivals. So we get a lot of opportunities, but it may not be the opportunities we're in terms of like the hundreds of thousands, the millions. But I mean, we still can't complain. I don't know. I can't complain. Maybe because I'm old school. I grew up in the 90s, so winning like when I won my first Evo, I won like $1,200. So I'm just like, to me as a kid, that's amazing. I guess now when kids are growing up, they're expected like, oh yeah, if I become nice, I should win millions like Buka, right? So I mean, yeah, I guess we're in a different time.
Very true. This is Christine Soli speaking with Justin Wong, a veteran pro player in the FGC community. Now, this past year, you recently just had a baby. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, she's 6 months old now, so it's pretty awesome.
That is awesome. Now, being a gamer dad now, how do you have time to play and train for these kind of tournaments like Evo?
I don't. I actually don't have time to train at all because outside of being a dad, I have to make sure I'm making money for my family by doing like events, activations, making content for YouTube, you know, doing all these product stuff. So in terms of playing, practicing, most of my practice comes from actually going to the tournament and playing there versus being at home and, you know, turning on the game for like 10 hours and like, I'm going to focus on that. Like, that doesn't happen anymore.
No.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm old. I'm old as shit. So I don't know if I can say that, but yeah, I'm old, but I guess that's just how life is. But I mean, people, a lot of companies, they say, oh yeah, I'm not expected to win anymore. I don't like when people tell me that because ultimately, as a competitor, and I always want to be the best. So it still has, I still have a fire in my heart. But I mean, I just know that I'm not in my teens anymore, my young 20s, where I don't have to think about life. You know, now I actually have to think about life. So I have to categorize, prioritize. So it is difficult, but there's no regrets whatsoever.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, there's news recently that a dad took out his son from high school just so he can train for esports. So what do you think about that? Would you do that if, you say, your daughter would want to pursue esports? Would you actually take her out of school?
I definitely don't think so. I guess maybe families think alike. I come from a very like strict family growing up, so I would say my morals are very similar to what my grandma taught me, is like finish school, you can have hobbies, and then, you know, they just want you to have a good life growing up. Because ultimately, let's say, esports is, it's really hard. It's kind of tough. Getting into it, trying to be the best at it, it's not everyone can do it, right? It's less than 1% of the world that are successful in esports. And that's a really low number, depending on how big gaming is now. So not many people can just win a tournament, win thousands, hundred thousands, ten thousands, millions. That's not common at all, right? So it's one of those things where if you want to pursue esports, I would say for my daughter, she needs to make sure she has a backup plan, not put everything in like, oh yeah, we're going to drop out of school and we're going to just play the next Fortnite for 10 hours a day until you become the best. Like, that's not even healthy. One, you're taking away social interaction, you know, because humans need social interaction in general. So you're taking that away. You're taking away her education. So you're kind of putting her in a hole where, like, she has to win. And if she doesn't win, then she's going to be working a low-end job growing up or going back to school extra late, which might cause, like, you know, just depression because you're like, damn, I'm way older than these kids, right? And then you don't want to be put in a position. So I wouldn't want to put my daughter in that position. But I would say that whatever she wants to do, I'm down for her doing whatever she wants to do. But think through it. Think through it.
Okay, that's great advice. Now, on your own take with Evo, what are you looking forward to Evo?
I hope to win Samurai Showdown at Evo this year. I would say that's the most time I put in a game in terms of going to tournaments, watching videos, and it's also a new game. So I hope to win that game. If not, then I flew out a bunch of players from like all around the world to compete, to give them an opportunity. So seeing them have fun, do well, would be pretty good as well. Yeah, I mean, I guess it all comes down to just work and grind and creating content and Oh, it's just, I guess I go to so many tournaments throughout the whole year. Like, it's not as special as back then where, like, I haven't gone to a tournament for, like, 4 months. And I'm like, oh, EVO's coming up. I can't wait. And then, like, I can't wait to see all these people from all around the world. A lot of times I see them, like, the following week, the week before, 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, I see all these guys, like, more than I see my family. It's just, damn, like, come on, man. Like, it's a lot of tournaments. Yeah.
With the up-and-coming faces of the FGC, like, do you have your eye on someone, or are you a big fan of someone that in the FGC yourself?
I would say I like watching Punk play. Like, he's the number one seed going to Street Fighter V this year. So, it's a fate. Should be the favorite to win Street Fighter V, but, I mean, things can happen. And he's very talented. He's super awesome, super cool. And, you know, I just like him. And, you know, I'm just happy that there's new generations. Because usually, like, before me, there was Alex Vai and John Choi. And after me, there wasn't a person or a group of people that really was able to, like, be like, damn, that's the future. And I think now Sonic Fox and Punk came out, and I could confidently say, like, yep, that's the future.
The future. And now where can they find you, Justin Wong, on social media?
You can find me on twitter.com/jwong with 3 G's, youtube.com/JustinWong, and instagram.com/jwong3g's.
Thank you so much for your time, Justin.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks to Justin for his time. For full interviews, make sure you visit our website over at checkpointxp.com. We want to hear from you. How excited for EVO are you? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Make sure you come back here Monday, because I'm sure we're going to be talking all about EVO.
Of course we are.
And we're excited to talk about it. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.